Can a Man or Woman Be Right with God? And if you want a subtitle for it, let's put this in. This is number 3. Can a man or woman please God? Many of the religions of the world have it that it's almost impossible to please God. So they depict God as one who is always there to watch over your immortal soul, and that you have to have the priest help you with the through the Eucharist, and that if you don't do what the church says to do, then you end up in purgatory, you end up in the burning lower reaches of hell, and then your surviving relatives have to pay for masses to get you out. And so God is depicted, and especially in a lot of New Testament Sunday-keeping churches, that the God of the Old Testament is cruel and mean and harsh, and so therefore we reject everything in the Old Testament. But is that true? Is it possible for a man or woman to please God? Now let's first of all begin back in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Because God has given us free moral agency, and free moral agency means that God has left the decision to us. He's presented His Word, He's created the world, He's created us, He's given us all the instructions on how we are to live, and as we will see a little later, yes, a man can please God with a combination of faith and love and obedience. Very much so can he please God. So, let's pick it up here in verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. For this is the commandment which I command you this day. It's not hidden from you, neither is it far off. Not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us so that we may hear it and do it? And, of course, you have a lot of people that like to go on treks to India and Nepal and try and find nirvana, what is the truth. Yet, the truth is contained in the Bible, which is probably in their own home. So God has made it easy access, especially in the Western world, and more particularly in America, because there's an average of 4 Bibles in every household in America. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? The word is very near unto you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. And that's very interesting when you get down to it and really, really think about it. 2 ways this is fulfilled. Number 1, God provided His Word in a language that you can understand, that you have learned, and it's in your heart and in your mind. Okay. Number 2, He's given conscience. Conscience is not necessarily God's law written in the heart and mind, but when people lie, they know they're lying, and they know it's wrong, even though they do it. And when people steal, except the banks, well, you know, the banks know they're doing it too, and that's why we're in such trouble today, you see. They know it's wrong. And when people commit adultery or murder, they know it's wrong. Because God gave us enough conscience that especially the very first time that we sin, our conscience is pricked. Now, we can harden our conscience, and we can go against our consciences, and we can gloss over it and continue in sin, and God in His mercy allows the circumstances to bring a person to their senses. That's why He, even though the wages of sin is death, he does not instantly bring upon them the death penalty. Otherwise, there would be no human beings around, because there's no man that doesn't sin, see. So God is not interested in that. He's interested in repentance and coming to him, because God made us in such a way that we need God. God made us in such a way that we need his Spirit within us to unite with the spirit of our minds so that we can become spiritually complete, as it were. And part of it is given here, yet he still gives free choice. So we have to choose. And I'll give a couple of sermons here to follow up on this concerning predestination, because a lot of people believe in predestination that it is fatalism. And that is, you're destined to be evil all your life, or you're destined to, that God calls you for salvation before you ever existed. So we'll cover that at a later date. Verse 15. See, I have set before you this day, that is, in the Word of God. And for the Israelites, before they were ready to go into the Promised Land, the book of Deuteronomy was the second giving of the law by Moses to recapitulate everything that God had given them. So I set before you this day life and good, death and evil. And that can be every day. Not just that one singular day, but for us every day. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God. Now we're going to see that is the key. Love and faith and obedience. And we get a sample of this with our own children, don't we? When our children love us, believe us, and obey us, they make us happy, and they are happier simply because they're not getting themselves in trouble. And I know I got myself in trouble when I didn't do that, see. And when I didn't do that, I knew that what I was doing, I shouldn't do. But I did it anyway, see. And because of the weakness of human nature. As one man said, when he was growing up, he did something very foolish, and he's very thankful that God spared him. He was about 10 or 12 years old, and there was a can of gas that had the cap off of it. And so he thought to himself, I wonder what would happen if I dropped a match in there. Whoopee! Well, he lit a match and dropped it, and the flame went out. Because if it had gone in there, it would have blown up and killed him. And he says, he always remembers that God had mercy on him, or there must have been an angel there to go, So, God sets before us this day life and good, death and evil. And he says, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. Because, see, when a man or woman pleases God, which they can, then God's blessings come to them. See? As it says here, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it, or wherever you are in the world today, if we could put it that way now. Then he gives a warning. God always holds out the blessing and the relationship. That's why we're made the way that we are, to have a relationship with God, to have fellowship with God, spiritually through his Spirit, through prayer, through study. And this is why when you pray to God, that's only half of the equation. that's you talking to God. When you read and study the Bible, this is God talking to you. So then God knows your desires and your prayers toward Him, and you know God's desires in your reading and studying of His Word. So in setting life and good, death and evil, then there have to be both of these. So then there's a warning, see. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, and hear means to listen to the Word of God, and hear, the next word from that is to hearken. Hearken means to hear and to do. So here is hearing, but not doing. But will be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Now there are many gods out there, and there are many idols that people set up in their hearts, which is the favorite thing that they do, or their favorite sport, or whatever activity it is, or in the case of a lot of these defunct movie stars that die early deaths, unfortunately, they idolize themselves so much, and they're not able to cope with their own weaknesses and balance that off with the propaganda concerning themselves. And I think we just have a recent example of that in this young man however he died, he died. See? I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. This is why the fifth commandment is, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long on the earth. See? And then beyond that, as adults, that then you honor God. Now verse 9, here's the key. No one can say they have no witness or any written document. Yes, you have the Bible. But God gives a greater witness. God gives His creation. See? To show that He means what He says. Yes, verse 19. If I said verse 9, beg your pardon. Okay. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now, it doesn't take any faith at all to understand that there's the heaven and the earth, right? You're on it. Yes, indeed. That I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life that you and your seed may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice, which is contained here in the Bible, the voice of what He has spoken. And in the New Testament, we have the teachings of Jesus, as we'll see a little bit here. That you may cleave unto Him, which then is describing the kind of relationship that we need with God. For He is your life, because He's given life, and length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now let's come to the New Testament, and let's see some things about how a man or woman can please God. And this is what puts you in right. Let's come to Matthew 22. This is what puts you in right standing with God more than anything else, and where we will see that God can be pleased with you, and you can please God. Now, the religious leaders of the Jews always were arguing back and forth about what was the greatest law? How should one do this or that or the other thing? And if you've never read the book, The Code of Jewish Law, that is an eye-opener. And let me just say this as a side point. No one can understand the writings of the Apostle Paul concerning law and grace and works of law unless they have an acquaintance with the code of Jewish law, because you do not know what the traditional laws of Judaism really are unless you have read them. And when you read them, you will find exactly why Paul said you can't be justified by work of law, because those are not in accord with the laws and commandments of God. So let's come here to verse 34, Matthew 22. But after the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together before him, so they all surrounded Jesus. And one of them, a doctor of the law, which was probably a prearranged thing for him to ask, questioned him, tempting him and saying, Master. Now, they didn't believe him to be the master, that's for sure. Which commandment is the great commandment in the law? Or you could also put that the greatest or the greater or the most important commandment in the law. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. Now here is the relationship then that pleases God. With all your heart. See, because our hearts are the things that emotionally move us to do things. And so there is emotion, there is love, there is obedience, there is a full effort that God expects from us, and also he gives us the strength and power to do it with his Spirit once we repent and baptized and receive the Spirit of God, you see. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is not a part-time affair. And with all your soul, that's all your physical being, because the soul is merely the physical power of life contained in the blood to keep the physical, chemical body going. That's why it says the soul that sins, it shall die. There's no such thing as an immortal soul. Which then also means that you could also say this, with every fiber of your being, physically speaking, but this also shows that we are responsible to take care of ourselves as well. And with all your mind. Now this is very interesting and profound from this point of view. The Word of God is so great and so spiritually layered, if we could put it that way, that God shows that within his word there are layers of understanding which are called the deep things of God. Okay? Which in Psalm 119 and verse 19, David said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So, what we need to understand is this. The Bible has been inspired by God, who lives forever, whose great wisdom is so far and above ours that contained within the words that he has given and recorded in the Bible, we can learn more and more and more, because it is a lifetime education. That's why it's with all of our mind, you see. And not to be going out doing our own thing. Now, once that relationship is established between us and God, he says here, this is the first and greatest commandment. Verse 39, the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments. Now, what he's saying is this. Here is the foundation or the founding pillar from which then all the law and the prophets hang. Verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So everything that God does is based upon His love. Even the curses that He gives, so that people may, in their misery, come to repentance. Rather than destroy them instantly, He lets the circumstances in their lives come up against them so they realize that they have nothing in their lives and nowhere to go except to God. So even that is in love and mercy. So we need to understand it in that way. Now then, of course, in a church, we are going to learn that we need to love one another too. So that's in addition to it. Now, let's see how a man can please God, or woman. Let's come to Hebrews 11. Now we've seen here we need to love God. Now we are going to see that in order for that love to be reinforced, it has to be an active love that becomes part of how you function as a human being. Hebrews 11. And this has to do with faith. Now, we've already covered that. Everyone has works based upon whatever faith they have. Whether it is faith in God, and you love and obey God, or it's no faith in God, but faith in an ideological thing, such as atheism or another religion, and they act upon what they have faith in. Now, faith then becomes one of the most important things in pleasing God, because it means not only do we hear Him, but we do believe Him. And we accept what God says because God says it, number one, and because, number two, He expects us to prove all things and to know what is right and hold fast to what is good. Now, let's begin here in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is actually a spiritual quality that comes from, number one, the spirit in man, which gives him a beginning faith and hope in God, and number two, the spirit of God to reinforce and build up that faith. And then when the spirit of man and the spirit of God come together after baptism and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, then you have the substance from God, the spiritual substance, which is greater than anything that we can work up ourselves by having hope in what we do and believe apart from God, see. Now notice what this also does then. And the conviction of things not seen. And conviction becomes very important, because we are to believe things with a conviction, not have a belief in something that when the going gets tough, we give up. Of the things not seen. And the whole plan of God is to what? Have us enter into His kingdom, which we don't see, to receive eternal life and live forever, which we can only partially understand with our physical being, but we have not seen it yet. And these things give us the hope. Now, let's go on. For by this kind of faith, the elders obtained a good report. In other words, God was pleased. By faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God. Didn't evolve, like we've said many times. Every evolution and atheist trying to explain where we came from? Go get your own universe and Big Bang. You tell us where that came from. Okay. And just as an aside, when you read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, the heavens. Okay? It doesn't give us any time frame, and when people read that, they assume that he did it all instantly at the same time. But it doesn't say that. It just tells you he created it. And when you look out at the vastness of the universe, and if you see any of the things that God has given man the technology to do as his own witness to men on earth, about how great the universe is. Now they're putting up a satellite telescope that is 100 times greater than the Hubble telescope. Comment was made that one man said that he can now prove everything came from scratch, and he started out with DNA, and he didn't, you know, that's convenient to start out with. It's like saying, I can bake a cake from nothing. And you've got on the counter flour and butter and sugar and honey and chocolate, you know. And you make it from scratch, see. Now, if you were able to create your flour and your butter and your sugar and then say, okay, I made this cake from scratch, see. So the same thing. We believe and know that the worlds, by faith, we understand that the worlds, meaning the ages of time and everything out there in the universe, let me finish this about that new telescope that they're going to put up there. They are going to discover more fantastic things in the universe that have never, ever been seen. And it is my personal conviction, since hearing that there is not one astronomer who does not really believe in a creator, that God has given this technology so that he can show his glory and his creation to mankind before he has to come and nearly destroy the world because of their sins. And what makes you think that God, whose creator ceased creating, is he also now creating? Yes, they can see that out in the universe. Is he not creating human beings through procreation? Yes. Same way with all the animals. He says, all the beasts of the field are mine. So God never ceases creating. And the key in understanding what evolutionists think are evolution to species, no, a lot of it is God created and added to what he created to make a different species or to make a variation of it. Now, men through breeding, and now they have all kinds of gene splicing and everything, but men through breeding can create different sizes of dogs and horses and cows and everything like that. You have these great huge horses that are, what, 10 feet tall? And then you have a little miniature horse that's barely 2 feet tall. But it's still a horse. Same way with a dog. You can have a Great Dane or Big St. Bernard dog, or how about this? You're lost in the snow, and you have your little Chihuahua in your pocket, and a Great Dane comes and rescues you. It's still a dog. See? All right, so we understand the world so that the things that are seen, which is a scientific absolutely proven thing today, so that the things that are seen are made from things that are invisible. And even when they get down to the atoms, they know there are protons and neutrons. Now, what's behind those? And what's behind that? God. See. Now, in the light of that, here's what we are to do. Here's how we are to respond to God. By faith, because we read in the Word of God what He says, and here Abel was able, that's correct, to talk directly to God. Okay? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, what did Cain do? Cain didn't believe God, and he wanted to do it his way, and force upon God that he must accept what he did as good. And God said, what you did is not right, and sin lies at the door. If you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, God would be pleased with it. So here's the lesson right from the very fourth chapter of Genesis. You can't take the way of God and modify it with your own ideas and expect God to accept it. Because if God is God, which He is, and if God is greater than we are, which He is, and if God's Word is true, which it is, and if we have a sinful nature, which we do, can we, as sinful human beings, do anything to add to what God, who is perfect, has done, or commanded, or said? The answer is no. A more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, though he died, he is yet speaking, because the Word of God is the living Word of God, though it is printed on paper. When we read it, we have a spiritual interaction with our mind and the words that God's Spirit inspired. By faith, Enoch was transported so that he would not look upon death, and that merely means he was moved from one area on the earth to another area. He did not go to heaven. It says translated in the King James, but this means transported. He was moved. Now, just to settle an issue about going to heaven, maybe God did pick him up and carry him away and put him to another place, and his journey was through part of heaven called the atmosphere around the earth, just like when we fly by planes, we go into heaven. So every time I fly and go somewhere, I go to heaven and come back. See? I'm transported from one place to another. So that's what this means. Because they were after him to kill him because he was witnessing of God's way. And was not found, that is, by the enemies, because God had transported him. And before his departure, it was testified of him that he pleased God. Very important thing. Now, let's also understand something, that if we please God, which we can please God. A man or woman can please God. You don't have to go around with the dread. You don't have to go around with a guilty conscience. And if you do, the way that you get rid of dread and a guilty conscience is through repentance and the washing of the water of the Word and the Spirit of God. Okay? So there we have it. He pleased God. Now, if Enoch can, we can. Now, notice then he explains how to please God. Now, without faith or belief, it's impossible to please God. Now, someone may have the Bible and they say, like a lot of ministers do, they read it and say, well, God didn't mean this. Or, well, Paul wrote this over here, which does away with this part of God's Word, which we don't like anyway, especially that Sabbath and holy days. What are they demonstrating? A lack of belief in God. And where did we start? Obey my voice. All right. And also, it's another thing, too. And today in Protestantism, they are moving away from any commandment keeping and are moving toward the New Age religion, which I'll bring a sermon on. But if someone opens the Bible and says, Paul wrote this and it does away with the Old Testament, what are they doing? They are taking away from the Word of God. And what is the warning in the Old Testament and the New Testament? You shall not add thereunto or take away therefrom, right? Yes. So, just a clever little thing that most people don't understand. When you eliminate part of the Word of God and say, well, we don't need this. Or, whenever they come to what Jesus did, let's just ask a simple question here. Since God gave His Word and there are changes from the Old Testament to the New Testament, who's the only one that can change it? God. And whenever He changes it, He takes the standard and makes it higher and spiritual. We'll just use one example. Circumcision in the flesh on the eighth day made one a physical member of the community of Israel, being the 12 tribes. It did nothing spiritually. And all you have to do is see how much that in the history they sinned against God. But the New Testament has what kind of circumcision? Spiritual circumcision of the heart and of the mind, which now applies to both men and women. See? So it's a higher standard. Rather than something in the flesh, now it has to do with the very process of your being and thinking. Okay. Now back to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Now without faith it's impossible to please God. Which also, contrarywise, means that it is possible to please God, and we'll see that. For it is mandatory. For the one who comes to God to believe that He exists. And this also means to be everything that He says He is. And that He is a rewarder. In order to be rewarded, you have to please God, correct? Of those who diligently seek Him. And Jesus gave the promise, if we seek, we shall find. If we ask, we shall receive. And also it means that we seek and keep on seeking because it's a lifetime process, you see. Then he gives the some more examples here. Faith always has works that followed. Noah, after being divinely instructed by God about the things he could not yet see, was moved with fear and prepared an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And the righteousness by faith, as we have covered, means that you believe God and act upon what He has said. Verse 8, by faith. And it's interesting, all these verses start out by faith. Abraham, being called of God to go out into the place which he would later receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Faith without obedience is empty. And went, not knowing where he was going. Because God doesn't tell us everything that lies in store. We walk by faith. Walk in faith, believe in hope, live in love. And then you can read the rest of it. All of it was by faith. So this is important in our understanding of our relationship with God and how we can have faith and how we can please God. Now, let's go ahead and see some things concerning Jesus Christ and what he did. Let's come first of all to Romans 15 and verse 1. And here is a principle of what Jesus did. Okay? And how we are to follow that same example. Let's begin here in verse 1. Now we who are strong in the faith are obligated to support the ones who are weak and not to please ourselves. Now next time I will have something to say about ministers who please themselves instead of pleasing God. But we'll save that for next time. Verse 2, accordingly, let each one of us please his neighbor for good unto edification. And that is by good behavior. Now, certain people you can never please under any circumstances because they don't want to be pleased. And that's because that their minds and hearts are not based upon love, but upon self and probably hate and contempt. So, there are certain ones you can't please. Now, we have a neighbor right in back of us. There is no way on earth you could ever please him concerning anything under the sun. Period. So we just ignore him and let him go his way. Now, here's the key. Verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't do things and experience things which are pleasurable. We'll talk about that later. But here's the key. We are not to set our lives in a pattern to serve the self, but rather to serve God and to please Him, and we will see that, yes, we can please God. Rather, as it is written, the reproaches of those who are reproaching you have fallen upon me. For all the things that were written before were written for our instruction, so that through patient endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. See? That we have hope in Christ because He did this for us. Let's ask a question. Had not the Creator God, who created all mankind, given up His power and glory and divinity to become a human being, to then live a perfect life, and to be the perfect sacrifice, where would we be as human beings, sinners that we are by nature, and how could we overcome it in any way if it weren't for Christ? Now, verse 5. We might have hope. Now may the God of patience and encouragement grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there we have a perfect example that is given. Let's come here to let's come here to John, the 12th chapter, and let's see how Jesus did that. John 12. Let's go to the next track, please.